And then Rick says to Morty,
please, Morty, please go Morty, get my science experiment.
And then he fires his portal gun.
And welcome to Comics Experiment. Here's your new Rick and Morty for our upcoming Rick and Morty comic series right here at the Comic Story and Channel. This is the Comics Experiment, a podcast that we record every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, where we ramble and then go into the show. We then upload it to YouTube on Saturdays, normally about every early morning time frame. Sometimes I get a little lazy with release. It then goes live to Spotify and SoundCloud and all the iTunes and all the fun stuff. And you can get early access to this show, getting your version of it unedited on Fridays most weeks by joining us over at our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian. And we got a sponsor. Have you ever thought about getting some sexual wellness?
Please don't sing that again.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't like that at all.
Especially the way he does it looking at you.
Yeah.
Would you like some sexual wellness?
Kind of swaying. I didn't like that.
So if you need to get some products for your hair, skin, and
sexual wellness,
then go to our sponsor.
That's the way he does it.
It's Four Hymns.
It is Four Hymns, and you can go to fourhymns.com/RobinBenny.
Yes, you can. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that product in the middle of today's show. But what we were just talking about is amazing cartoons. That's what you jumped in the middle of this week. We, in all honesty, they didn't know I was going to start the show there, but I thought it made for a great segue of us talking about Rick and Morty, because Disney Plus is out, everyone. Mm-hmm. And all I'm hearing about is all the classic cartoons that everyone is watching.
Yes.
To which I thought would be interesting if we were to have our own debate about what our favorite superhero cartoon show is and why it's the best.
Yes.
But we're going to open it up by doing our usual back and forth banter on our show, because this is a podcast, our witty banter. Yes,
let us banter and occasionally tangent.
We shall open the show with some witty off-the-cuff banter that we have planned. You don't say we're going to start the show with our banter.
Ah, banter.
It's like I just started podcasting yesterday.
I know, seriously. All right, what we got on the schedule? We're going to do about 10 minutes of witty banter, back and forth.
Then tangent into another tangent. Back to the banter.
And then we'll probably try to squeeze in the subject in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably. Cool.
Wow, like just saw the outline for every show comes experiment. No, but seriously, we're going to talk about that today. But I'm bringing this out there for the entire audience to see. We're talking about bringing the Rick and Morty comics. So there's two series that we've been getting a lot of requests for that we have answers for. We are going to do Last Airbender, and Dan's going to narrate it since he's the world's largest Last Airbender fan.
Oh, I'm definitely not the world's largest. There are some people out there. Oh, thanks. But I am a huge fan, and I have been asking Benny to do these comics since I joined the team.
Yes. So since we've done Dan with the League of Legends things, you guys liked that. He's been doing some other stuff here and there. We thought it'd be fun if Dan did the Last Airbender series. He's going to be doing that very soon. We're also talking about bringing the Rick and Morty comic series to the channel finally. The big reason we have not done that is because I don't think I do a good Rick or Morty, and I think it doesn't work well with me doing Rick and Morty and narrating. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting if we had our own Morty.
Oh, jeez, Rick. I'm not going to do my Rick. I don't know if I have a Rick yet.
And that's our Rick.
My Rick is just this.
Yeah, that's Rick.
All right, Morty, let's get out of here.
You got a burp in there, too.
Yeah.
He would totally just be like, I'm talking burp. And now I am talking some more burp.
Science.
What is
stuff.
That, the bird man or whatever they have on the show?
They do have, what's his
bird
name?
Bird person.
Yeah, yeah. He talks like that. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. That's what we were talking about before the show started, because we were talking about cartoons. And what we're going to do, just to kind of give you guys a refresher of some of the classic shows, we got a 2019 Best Animated Superhero TV Shows of the World in the entirety. Andy, you can read through it since you're in my seat, since my back hurts. I threw my back out, which is why I'm sitting in this seat, so I can look in one direction.
My back's going to hurt from carrying this show.
I know, Rick.
Burp. I'm just going to say that randomly throughout the whole...
Hello, Morty. Burp. Let me tell you about our adventure,
we
burp.
Just give him like random accents.
And then Morty's,
hey, Rick. Let's go on our adventure.
That would be hilarious. It'd be good for one episode, maybe.
That would be funny.
I'm Morty after puberty. Oh, the show went really weird. Oh, jeez.
That's weird. Anyway.
So Andy, we can get a refresher for the audience, for us. I already know my favorite show of the old days. Back when we had
my favorite cartoon of ye olden times.
Back when we lived on the prairie and we were watching shows.
What accent are you trying to do right
now?
I have
no idea.
I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know. He's like a weird gangster kind of thing going on. He's back on the prairie, see? Yeah.
I was just doing gangster voices. Because it was like in that Smallville, Batman fights like a bunch of villains that are wisecracking. So I was just doing weird gangster voices for each of them.
You know, it reminded me of like when you're talking through like one of those things that changes your voice and you're just talking continuously and changing it to hear all the different. Goes, yeah. That's him trying to do an accent. He's like, I cannot land on a specific accent. Yep. Let's just keep turning the knob.
I'll talk like everyone does at Death Stranding.
It's good.
The end of the world is coming. Are you ready to be an Amazon delivery boy?
Because that's what I'm doing during the end of the world.
You can make your own hours.
My question would be, why don't we have drones for this shit yet?
I unlocked that. We're good.
All right, cool. Was your question going to be, what was my favorite cartoon from ye olden times?
I don't even know at this point. No, I was saying how we already know what we want, but we're going to refresh everyone's memory on some of the shows based upon this list of the top 10.
I see, okay.
And then midway through, you started making fun of my ye olden times.
Okay, before we go into it, though... Favorite shows.
Before we go into it?
Yeah.
Green Lantern. See.
Okay, Green Lantern. Ooh. Interesting. The one with Razor the Red Lantern?
Yes.
Okay. So damn, the CGI one. That's a fantastic one.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Andy?
Batman the Animated Series, and I win, so. See you later, everybody. Thanks for joining the show.
Where would we even put the ad placement in that? Portal open. Put it somewhere.
I'm like, Batman. The portal.
Bat. Portal. Comes back. Man.
And we're done.
And then mine is the classic.
Honestly, you don't even need the rest of the show.
You get everything you need in that like minute clip.
Morph.
Oh, yeah, morph.
So let's go through this list and then we'll debate why ours are the best and we'll see if anything on this list maybe changes our minds.
Also, you're welcome. That's going to be stuck in your head the rest of the day.
You really will.
All right, let's see the list.
All right, number, I guess we're going up. So number two.
This list is
number
from
two?
What? I can't read the address.
Because it's on the second page. It doesn't give me a number.
Whose list is this?
Newsarama.
Okay.
10 best comic book animated series of all time.
All time.
By the Newsarama staff on June 10th, 2019 at 6 a.m. in case anyone was wondering.
Oh, good. I don't lists prior to
I guess this is
June.
Technically 10. It doesn't give me a number is the thing.
Okay.
Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Still one of the best.
Do you want me to read the little blurb? Or
no, I mean, you know, well, if we can't think of it. So Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
This was the mid-2000s one, wasn't it? Or
I came right on the heels of the first couple of movies.
Okay, this one came after the movies, because I've seen the movies.
This is the one that, in my opinion, was the most faithful to the movie universe that everyone is coming to follow.
I have seen some of this.
I think there's two solid seasons of it. They made the Avengers. You met all the Avengers. They all did things. There was a follow-up series, very much how they did Justice League Unlimited, but it didn't do anywhere near as well.
Sure.
I also, one of my favorite parts about this show is the portrayal of the Hulk. So for those of you who don't know, the way they did the Hulk was really simple. They had Banner, they had Hulk. Mm-hmm. And after the initial intro and the Hulk raged and the Avengers said they're going to help them, Banner and Hulk went to the mental scape that we always see in the comics.
Right.
And they agreed to help the Avengers if Hulk was always in charge. Basically removing Banner.
Yeah. So you don't have to deal with the Banner side of it.
Right. We just have Hulk as an Avenger.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's a good way to just clear it up right off the bat.
Yes. Know? To make him a hero who's trying to be a hero. Plus as opposed to always battling with himself.
Right. Plus you go, yes, I'm going to get Hulk because I hate the boring Banner stuff.
I mean, I like Banner, but okay.
I mean, I like him too.
I see
but
that.
Hulk is way more exciting.
I
don't know how. Okay.
So what's number 9, Andy? Because we're all looking at it like, huh?
I'm going to have to read this one. All right. So I guess number 9, according to this list, Newsarama, is DuckTales.
Woo!
I have to read the blurb because I didn't know this was based off a comic book, and I love this show.
It is actually,
Disney's DuckTales, which aired in the first run syndication from 1987 to 1990, is a comic book adaptation, though not as obvious as the others on this list. DuckTales star Uncle Scrooge appeared in comic books first, and the show is based on stories by the creator's character. Oh, I didn't know that, actually. Very interesting.
So I guess technically it is a comic book animated show?
Technically a comic book animated show.
Interesting.
All right. Big fan, and you can currently watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I was actually going to say, Andy and I legit had a discussion about DuckTales and Darkwing Duck today.
Yes, because we were talking about The Mandalorian, which is also a new show. And Ben said, well, after I watched that, there wasn't really anything else I wanted to watch on the app. And I was like, but they got DuckTales and Darkwing Duck on there. And that was it. That was my argument.
My DuckTales, response was, it was the Gizmo Duck episodes I'll go to watch.
Oh, that is right. Yeah. Yeah, which is really random, I feel. Like, of all of the greatness that was these old Disney cartoons,
I just like Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck was the one.
To each their own.
Now, you just reminded me. Here's an interesting question, because Darkwing Duck and DuckTales were in the same universe that was established. Mm-hmm. Did Gizmo Duck first come to DuckTales or first come to Darkwing?
I believe it was DuckTales.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he showed up in Darkwing, and Darkwing hated him,
right?
Because he was more popular because he's Gizmo Duck,
right? Because he was supposed to be like an actual superhero,
right?
Yeah.
I also remember that one particular episode of Darkwing Duck. I do remember it. We'll probably get to that eventually. I think it's probably going to be on the list. But Darkwing Duck is the one where he went to the planet of all superheroes.
Yes.
And they loved him. So
he's just the normal guy.
And that's why they loved him, so they could all save him.
Yeah. This is a good episode.
I like that.
I got to watch Darkwing.
I'm going to have to get Disney Plus.
The next one, because I don't know what number we're on anymore, is The Tick. From the end of this, I want to say this was mid to late 90s.
The cartoon was great.
Also Fox, I believe.
In the 90s. Yes.
Now, wasn't there two attempts at live action Tick?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember there was a huge push at New York Comic Con one year.
Yeah.
And it was going to be, I want to say it was an Amazon show when Amazon like was kind of dipping their toe into Amazon Originals.
Yes.
The Tick was one of their first ones.
I know there was a live action one that starred, I always forget the guy's name, he does the voice of Joe on Family Guy.
I know it too. He's in so much stuff.
Isn't it the guy who...
That.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah. Warburton.
Is he Wahlberger. The voice of Kronk Mark Wahlberg from Emperor's New Groove?
Yes.
Okay.
He's got such an iconic voice. He takes so much.
He really does.
And then there was another live action one after that, though.
Peter.
The Tick ran from 1994 to 1996, in case anyone was wondering. I believe it was on Fox.
Yeah, I think the original was on Fox.
Yeah. I think so.
Well, does that mean we're going to see it on Disney Plus real soon?
It's possible. Who knows?
Maybe it's already there.
Da, da, da. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Before we go any further, this was a good adaptation.
He's going to say exactly what I was going to say.
Probably. I'm surprised at how little superheroes are on this list so far.
Well, me too.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a comic book first.
Yes.
Now the cartoon very much brought it more into the mainstream
and
added a lot of the elements that people think of when they think of Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm.
The original Turtles had nothing that we all recognize now.
Not in the original comics.
As a matter of fact, fun fact, Kevin Eastman, the guy who made the original Turtles,
yes.
The recent reboot that he's been a part of, I don't know if he's writing or not, the IDW run, a lot of what you know from the cartoons, he's now incorporated.
Adds into the actual.
And he's done a lot of cool stuff over there, like killing Donatello and crazy stuff.
So. I was going to say, pretty much every single one I feel like that's going to be on the list is going to be one that has an amazing song for their intro.
Oh, 90s cartoons had the best intros known to mankind.
I miss really entertaining, like,
when the world
stuck
ends,
in your head intros to shows.
When the world ends, two things will survive. Three things. Cockroaches, Twinkies, and 90s cartoon theme songs.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on.
In the future, they're going to be like, when your great-great-great-grandfather was a child.
Let me tell you.
He would always sing, a DuckTales, woo.
That would actually be really funny. Number whatever one we're on. Justice League Unlimited. This was a fantastic
cartoon. A really good one.
Basically, I believe Unlimited was the continuation of the original Justice League cartoon.
Yes, the original ran
for... Where they actually added like all of these heroes.
So the ending of the original ended with the Seven deciding that they needed more people.
Yes.
And that became Justice League Unlimited.
And then this one, generally, it did the two... It's really loud and right in the middle of me talking.
Well, we can't hum this one.
I could, but I won't. They stuck with the two-episode format, which is generally it was a two-parter to each thing, and these ones focused on other characters that weren't Batman, Superman. Occasionally there was, of course, the Batman episode, because it's Batman.
They always did. Obviously. But normally he would team up with Superman or somebody.
Something like that, Usually these
the Trinity
featured more
Oh my God.
Collaborations than individual episodes.
Yeah, well, the Unlimited was all about everyone else. They would do, and they also tried some more obscure characters like Question. Yes. Green Arrow got a lot of jokier episodes in this particular thing. Things like that would happen in it. Now, okay, go. See if you can hum. You said you could hum that, and I didn't need to play
the theme song. No, I can't.
All I know is like that note, like dun dun dun. And it pans over the league.
Number this one.
You're real good at your number
job.
Six.
I like how, Andy, your literal job right now is to talk and count, and you failed at one of those two things.
But I can still count. No, I can still talk. I can't even do that right. Anyway, this one is, meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, it's the Super Friends. And it does that.
This is where the Wonder Twins come in, too.
Yeah.
Form all
Wonder
of
powers
bucket
activate.
Of water.
Yeah, like when he went to the bucket of water last time. I was like, all right, I guess I'm a big ass you. Comprising, I did not know this, of 109 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Produced and aired over 13 years.
Holy crap.
No way.
No wonder it's on that list.
The original
we watched
very
it with our dad.
Kitty-friendly Super Friends, yeah. May well have converted more TV-watching kids into comic book-reading kids than any adaption, big screen or small, before or since. That's possible.
Yeah.
13 years.
I will say, okay, so when Andy and I were kids, and our dad was trying
long,
to get us...
Long
so
ago,
back in the day, Back in the day.
Back in the Potter house.
Back in the Potter house when we were kids. I don't remember like what the situation was with school and all that stuff, but we were home. Our dad was... He worked third shift, so he watched us during the day.
Yes.
And to get us into comic books, he had a few in the house, but obviously we were a little too young to really read them and understand them and grasp them.
Good, obviously.
So what he did was we would watch Super Friends and Batman 66.
Yes. And also Wonder Woman 60 something.
I thought it was 79.
79. You're right.
Yeah. Yes.
Cause at this
with,
point,
Linda.
So
Linda
for, they were on some channel playing all of these shows and our dad would sit us down and we'd watch them. Was that FX?
FX back in the day. Yeah.
Before it was known as FX.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was FX back in the day.
77. There you go.
77. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but we watched all those shows with our dad back at, and that's, I think, probably what started our love for superheroes in general.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, yes. This is not the same one you're thinking of. Spider-Man. However, this was the one from 1967 to 1970.
Which we did not watch as kids.
Yeah, this isn't the one.
We didn't see that one. You're thinking of the 90s one.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. 1967 to 1970 Spider. I don't read through all their crap. They say remains too culturally iconic not to be counted about the best comic book adapted series, animated series ever. So
was this the one that had Spider-Man? Spider-Man.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was that one.
Once again, iconic.
But yeah, here's our iconic closest, theme song. Here's our closest argument for Spider-Man being number four on our list. By the way, we're on number four. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Yeah. So that's where that came from. That's pretty funny. I didn't know that. I didn't know that's where that theme song actually originated.
One thing that I'm making Andy sit and watch with me real soon. Just this made me think of it.
Spider-Man. I'm hearing this for the first time with you.
No, actually, you're not.
Okay.
Spider-Man Japanese show.
Well, you're remembering this for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So.
The Eidoman. What is it? I am an emissary from hell or whatever he says?
Spider-Man's an emissary.
Is that the one where
hell?
He like actually kills people?
Yeah. And he's got like a giant robot.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Leah Pardon.
Yeah. All right. Number three, apparently.
I'm an emissary from hell.
X-Men, the animated series.
Dan? No, it's dun. You gotta go higher.
That's the second
ending,
part.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
Like Super Friends, 2 decades earlier, the 1992 to 1997, I didn't realize it ran that long.
Yeah.
X-Men animated series was responsible for introducing a new generation to superhero comics. If you ask a comic book fan in their mid 20s to early 30s, how you doing? About their first exposure to the medium. Inappropriate. It's a safe bet. This Fox Kids cartoon played a part, and that theme song is still stuck in their heads 20 years later.
It
was a fantastic series.
You know, we'll talk more about this one because you picked it as your thing. Unless you doubt anything here is going to change your mind, so we'll talk more about it then. I got a few things to say about the X-Men show.
Come on.
So, okay. What's next? Okay. Because this is on our discussion portion. So there's no reason. Wait, hold on.
Number dose.
You're a two. What do we think number one's going to be?
Batman, the animated series.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm going to laugh if it's not.
It was Green Lantern.
It's the greatest animated series, and the internet agrees. Number two is Young Justice.
Yes. I think this is season one they're referring
to. It's got
to
be one or two.
It says the series may have only gotten two seasons at first, but it offered a glimpse into the DC universe that an intrigue, humor, romance, fun, as well as its heavy moments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It expertly juggled a huge cast of characters, focusing on the young heroes of the DCU, but also showed how the Justice League fit into this world as mentors and more. Mm-hmm. I did really enjoy the series. I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
Season three was fantastic.
I was going to link into four. Maybe it'll all come together very well, but we'll see.
Who knows?
Fred Bug
with two G's.
Andy doesn't get that joke.
I don't.
Number one. Batman the Animated Series.
Oddly enough, it's Green Lantern.
That would be funny. It's Green Lantern, said no one ever. But Ben.
I actually did like the Green Lantern.
He likes Razor.
The Green Lantern series, I really
enjoyed. Yeah, you're both wrong. Batman the Animated Series was nothing short of revolutionary. When Bruce Timm and Paul Dini teamed up to offer a take on Batman that had never been seen in mass media, they changed more than one perception. As Kevin Conroy, I don't even need to make an argument. I'm just going to read this thing. As Kevin Conroy,
you're
going to
make an argument in a minute.
The voice of Batman. Well, then I should stop because most of what I'm going to say is okay. Yeah, you should stop. Similar.
And you know what else? Since you're taking the lead, what you should do at this point?
Yes.
What?
Is open a portal.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Hims, a wellness brand for men. Have you noticed your hairline slowly receding or bald spots showing up? Well, 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. But I'm here to tell you about a great product to prevent more hair loss while you can. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you with real doctors online. Just answer a few questions for a doctor to review, and they can determine if it's right for you. They can prescribe your medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. My listeners can get started with a 4Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last, and subject to a doctor's approval. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/Rob and Benny. That's FORHIMS.com/Rob and Benny. 4hims.com/Rob and Benny.
Bravo, you didn't even need any lead up.
Bravo. Thank you.
You gotta close it though.
And then we close the portal.
All right, so that is Newsarama's list, which I found. So what I find interesting about that list is most of it was classics, like real classics, yes. Super Friends, Spider-Man, or things that weren't superhero related. And you're right, it's comic based super shows.
Well, it does say comic book animated series.
Right.
I'm very because there were some in this list that I'm like, why wasn't the Green Lantern show in there?
Or X-Men Evolution, which introduced X-23 to the world.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, you're right.
That series was okay.
I mean, but there was a lot of superhero shows at Batman Beyond. Yeah.
I would have put probably Spider-Man on here from the 90s.
90s Spider-Man?
Yeah, 90s Spider-Man.
Batman Beyond definitely should have been on that, I feel.
I'll be honest, I kind of enjoyed Ultimate Spider-Man. I know not everyone agrees.
Oh, the MTV one?
No, that's the Ultimate Spider-Man that was written by Bendis.
Yeah, wasn't that on?
No, he's singing the Disney one. The first season opened with a lot of chibi cutaways.
Oh, yes.
And then they dropped all that and everyone kind of fell in love with it.
I do remember that one, yeah.
Because it was the Ultimate Universe, and then he created Miles Morales, and he was like, oh, whoops.
Yeah. Got it.
I liked that one. I'm surprised.
Yeah, Spectacular Spider-Man is still revered as one of the better shows that, for some reason, got canceled. I think we did an episode on that. What happened?
Well, all the greatest shows get canceled.
It had, what, one season, didn't it?
Yeah, well,
it was a solid one. I watched it.
So, fun fact, we're going to talk about our favorite shows, but fun fact as a part. That? Well, fun fact. I'm talking about the show's normal comic story channel. Just the channel we work on that features comic books.
I'm apparently calling you.
Well, that's weird. Dan, I'm right here.
I'm sorry. I had something to include into the argument. I needed to get your attention.
No, I was just going to say the What Happened series that is on our channel, which has 7 episodes right now. All the shows that are missing that we didn't put on there, Andy and I are working on getting those episodes out now. So that's another series returning to the channel.
Yeah.
Either way, Spectacular Spider-Man was interesting. But so the point of this half of the episode is going to be us debating what we feel is our favorite. Now, Dan, you say X-Men's the best show ever to be created.
I mean, not best show to ever be created, but ever. It is one of my favorites.
No. Stand by your guns.
Okay, superhero animated shows. Because I know if you could pick ever, it'd probably be Full Metal Alchemist.
Was that based off a comic book first?
It's based off manga.
Was the manga first?
Can Dan take that as his argument?
Actually, there's two versions of the show because one started as the manga was still going, and then it outpaced.
So I'll do this then. Andy, do we allow Dan to include manga for the best based on comic books since they took DuckTales.
Well, the funny thing is, I could technically also include Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
because there's.
But do
a
we allow
book.
Him to? Or is
Rick and Morty?
No, but was it based off a comic book first? Avatar
right.
was True. A cartoon True. First. Yeah, there have been comic
Full
books
Metal based was based off yeah, of. Yeah. But we
okay. Either
we'll
you stick with X-Men. You stick with X-Men for your.
I
argument.
Will stick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andy's argument is that Batman's the best.
It's true. I'm just gonna keep reading this article.
Okay.
Why it's
and
awesome.
I will admit. I wanted Batman, but I knew Andy was going to take it, so I went with my second best, Green Lantern.
Which is a great show.
Green Lantern.
I mean, you took Batman, so it would be a very poor debate if we were like, Batman's right. the best show ever. Yes, it is. See you next time.
Thanks for looking, everybody.
So Green Lantern was one that I actually watched as like the episodes were coming out.
Yeah.
So it was like one that I'm like, oh my God, the next episode.
It was, I mean, it was a
What's
good show.
What's Razor going to do wrong. To Atrocitus yeah. this time?
It was a good show. I did like it.
I was always sad that they didn't bring Razor into the comics.
So, Andy, since you've got yours loaded in front of you, how is it? Why is it the best ever superhero?
I would say it is the best adaption of a comic book, not because it stuck closely to the comic books. Like, X-Men pulled a lot of their storylines from the comic books.
Yep.
Right, which is what I was going to talk about.
Batman did not. Mm-hmm. It was, well, obviously, it pulled elements from the comic books. But like its storylines were original for the cartoon mostly.
Right.
I would say the animation at the time was spectacular.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. They, you know,
they did it for people who don't know. They actually did a different style from every other animation at the time.
Exactly, yes. It was very innovative.
Yeah, they wanted to feel darker, and so at the time it was white background, white in color on top of that.
Yeah,
a white background, black and white, black and color on top.
Yeah, yeah.
They flipped that to give you that dark tone, that dark feel in the animated series.
Which was so perfect.
They did a black background and then did all the colors on top of that.
Technically speaking, at one point the backgrounds were so black it was technically illegal.
Was it?
Yeah, I remember seeing an interview with Bruce Timm, and they were like, yeah, they came to us and said, technically, we weren't allowed to do that.
Wait,
but like what? Safety regulations or something. Yeah, I don't know why.
That's a weird thing to be illegal.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's interesting to see Batman animated series remastered the way it is now, too.
Yes, which it actually looks really good remastered. DCUniverse.com, just saying.
I would say the voice talent on the show was amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think
Conroy, Kevin Mark
Conroy,
Hamill,
yep. The greatest Batman Joker ever right there.
Like, right there. I mean, honestly, if I had to pick two reasons why it was amazing, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill.
They sold the characters just so well.
Yeah. I would say a lot of the elements from the animated series made it into the mainstream comics. Harley Quinn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze, the way he's portrayed
Mr.
now.
Mr. Freeze's
is from
entire origin, was based off of this. Other than that, he was just kind of a goofy guy.
That's fair.
Honestly, and then to go, I mean, realistically, Batman the Animated Series led into Batman Beyond, Justice League,
right.
Superman. Like,
well, it created all of the Bruce Timm verse.
Exactly. All of the DC animated stuff for, I think it was like 15 years, started with Batman.
So,
yeah.
What I liked about the Batman Animated Series, and I can counter my own arguments with this with the Green Lantern, don't worry. But what I liked about the Batman Animated Series was the fact that it didn't rely on the comics.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, in this day and age, a lot of times we get a comic book movie or we get a comic book show, and a lot of times you can follow it and go, that's the plot that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not an animated show, but the show Titans is out right now. Mm-hmm. And during that, you were sitting there going, you're waiting for Terra.
Yeah.
And they're doing a little tweak here and there, but it's still the same generalized concept that we've already gotten a dozen times. When Terra showed up in Young Justice, we all kind of
or
were like,
you expect the Terra figure, like whether or not it's Terra, you know, there's going to be the person that is essentially the Trojan horse,
right?
Kind of thing.
Now, back in the day of the Batman animated series, I wasn't reading consistent Batman enough to have any idea if any of this was lifted from the comic books,
right?
But knowing what I know now, that's one of the things that in rewatching animated series, that's one of the things I enjoy about the Batman the animated series. Mm-hmm. It's not a rehash of every storyline I've ever seen in Batman.
Okay, we're gonna do this Joker storyline from the comics.
We're doing Under the Red Hood now.
Yeah,
now we're doing Damian. You know, that none of it's the same, and that's I think what made it great. And I do agree with you on animated series and the fact that it did kind of launch the Bruce Timm universe.
Yes.
Giving us the Robins, the Batgirl. It progressed. Batman over the course of when that started to the end of Justice League, end of Batman Beyond. I don't know if Unlimited or Beyond went further.
Technically, Unlimited lasted longer than Batman Beyond.
Okay.
Because Batman Beyond shows up at the end of Justice
League. That's right. They linked him in at the very ending of it to link the whole thing.
They linked it all together, yeah.
But technically, this Batman series doesn't just end with those 2 to 3 seasons of Batman.
Nope.
It ends after all of it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the same Batman that progressed over into Justice.
Right, and you see his progression as a character over the course of all of that, making this one of the best shows ever.
And yeah. I will say, as a small child, I watched the show and was like, Batman, woo! That's what it sounded like.
I mean, I don't deny that's probably why Batman's one of my favorite superheroes.
But if you go back and watch it now, the writing on this show is fantastic.
Is it?
It is really, yeah. Like the plots, the stories, they're so good, and they're not... They're not like, oh, we got to make a Batman cartoon for kids. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a bunch of stupid jokes and things like that. Like, they're real storylines.
Yeah.
Like, real characters. Like, it was darker than, like, obviously the 66 Batman.
Right.
So, but.
I think one of my favorite things with this show, when I went back to rewatch it, the remastered, because I was like, well, let's see how good it is when you see the technology that they considered like the super advanced. And like Batman's looking at a thing and he types it and he's like, what is this? It's like text. This is a flower.
Yeah, it does this. I also had like, I like how Gotham always had blimps for some reason.
Yes.
Even though the police never used blimps.
No one uses blimps.
But it's like, I mean, I think the first episode is like Man-Bat flies by like a police patrol blimp. Why does Gotham have so many blimps?
What do you think they would do with the police patrol blimp? Like, all right, I see somebody down there.
Yeah, like.
Are there any officers nearby?
Yeah.
We'll throw the ropes down.
SWAT team is very slowly moving into position.
They're like, we'll be there in 3 hours.
That's what I mean.
This had such a good mix or a meeting of Batman and Superman that it was far superior than a certain movie that came out a few years ago. And hilarious. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm trying to think of my favorite scenes for yours and even mine overall, the scenes that have come out in the shows. But my favorite, that one scene in particular still stands out in my mind about this one. I don't know why this one stands out. Okay. There's one where Batman is riding on the top of an invisible car.
Yes.
And he's zipping through the streets and it looks like he's flying.
Yes.
And somebody comments, I didn't know he could fly.
I didn't know he could fly. Yeah. I forget the villain's name now, but he has a suit that allows him to go invisible.
Okay.
And he's using it to kind of be the imaginary friend of his daughter. So he could steal her, obviously.
All right.
Is the idea.
As you do.
And then Batman is like on his car because he does the same thing with his car or something and he's flying.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's
the first
season, actually.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
I still remember that scene for so. And that I think the first episode, Joker's plan to make all the fish smile so he can copyright the fish.
That's not the first episode.
Oh,
no,
it's not?
No, the very first episode is Man-Bat, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What would the Joker one's pretty early, though.
The Joker one is he's trying to figure out how to get the fish to smile, and Harley steps out on her own, and she gets Batman, and she hangs him upside down so it looks like all the fish are smiling. And then when Joker shows up, she's like, I figured it out. And he's like, but you had to explain it to me. And he like hits her with a fish or something like that. It's like, it's not funny if you have to explain it to me.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
So, I watch the show a lot, actually.
So counter to Batman, you said, and I knew this before we started the show, guys. This is why I took this as a topic, because I knew Andy was de facto Batman.
Yes.
And I knew Dan was de facto X-Men. Mm. Because the reason why Dan loves the X-Men comics right now, huge X-Men fan. Yeah. So why do you think X-Men's the best?
So one... I actually think it was smart of them to, because a lot of their plots were from the comics, and I think it was smarter for them to do that because Batman, it's easier to do individual plots because it's just Batman.
Mm. Yep.
But when you have the entire cast of the X-Men, I feel like they could have confused themselves a little too quickly if they tried to make their own stuff.
We did a Morph episode.
Right.
He died in episode 2, actually. Or I think episode 1.
He dies very, very early on.
It's the immediate, like, in the very beginning of the
first
episode,
big thing
they fight the Sentinels, and like they're breaking into the Sentinel place, and we all learn who Morph is. And, like, 2 minutes later...
We're like, Morph! Morph!
And so was Wolverine.
Yeah.
I forget what season. He comes back eventually.
He does. Technically he comes back as something.
Isn't he upset because no one looked for him or something like that? Something like that. That was the
it's
whole
one of the ones where they're like, oh, like everyone's like, Morph!
Anyway.
And then he comes back and he's like, but I didn't even die. You didn't check my pulse. Or something like
you
that.
Thought you were vaporized. I don't know. Sentinels or something.
I just really enjoyed the show. Like, I felt... It was a good cartoon that kind of exposed you to a bunch of different superpowers. Mm-hmm. And just a bunch of really cool, really unique superpowers. Because like when it comes to the Justice League, a lot of them are very standard what you expect from a superpower.
Yes.
Like super strength, invulnerability. Whereas claws that come out of your hands reheal, turn metal. Like, I felt like it had a lot more variety, and I think that's what really grabbed me.
Yeah.
Because you could have different episodes of different people, and you're like, this is incredibly different because she shoots fireworks and he shoots fire.
Sparkly.
I think that was one of the best parts of X-Men. They actually drew from a lot of characters that really weren't well known in the X-Men cast at the time. Like, a lot of people, like right now, a great example of the MCU, a lot of people assume that Iron Man, Captain America, and
Guardians.
Thor. Well, in Guardians, that they're these big characters in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. They weren't.
No,
they were
not for the longest time.
Like, Marvel has gone on record and said that the biggest problem they had was getting people to convince that Iron Man wasn't a robot.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to do. And so you go back to the X-Men days. If you weren't a comic book fan, you didn't know any of the X-Men were outside of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which, fun fact, if you can actually
look, you usually knew that because he was on the Avengers.
You can Google the original pilot episode. Wolverine is Australian.
No, it's a different pilot.
Well, a different pilot, but it's the original pitch, I think, is what it was.
No, it wasn't.
What is it?
They tried to do a X-Men cartoon. I want to say it was like 10 years prior to this one.
Okay.
I'm pointing at the screen because it still has Batman on it.
I believe
it was called Kitty Pryde and the X-Men.
I think that does sound familiar. Yeah.
And I think the pilot episode was called Pryde of the X-Men.
That
and,
yes.
It was centered around Kitty Pryde. And in that one, Wolverine was Australian. Which at the time, everyone was like, that's stupid. And now he was played by an Australian for like 20 years. But
what I found cool about that was it was one of those things where everyone knows Batman, everyone knows Superman. Even when they had their shows come out, the thing with the DC characters and why we always argue about them is that the symbols of Batman and Superman are more recognizable than Christian symbols around the world. Like, you can look into it. It's actually a fun study that was done, but like, there's certain symbols that are more recognizable. The Christian symbol is not as high up as you would assume it is. It is high up there.
But now Superman going like this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or a bat.
And so
the
when
sky.
They had their shows, it was kind of an easy sell. It's Batman, the animated series. With the X-Men, no one really knew who they were unless you were a super X-Men fan in the comics. Characters like Wolverine were the only recognizable ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Cyclops was and Jean Grey were well known at the time, but
they were.
Jubilee, who was supposed to be the audience, basically.
Yeah.
No one knew who the hell she was at the time.
Ooh.
Now she's a vampire. That makes no sense. But
yeah, vampire with a kid.
She's gonna
a kid that also came back from the future that met itself as a kid.
Everybody comes back to the future.
It's like Shoto or something. I want to
say
the kid's name is.
What I found awesome about the X-Men, outside of the obscure characters that you could fall in love with, which is funny because now they try to still do that with like, look at these X-Men characters you don't know exist. And you're like, no. Give me the TV show ones.
Give me the ones from the 90s.
I will say, though, I wish Gold Balls was a thing back when the animated series was a thing.
Don't you mean Egg?
Hilarious. No, I prefer Gold Balls. I still love that issue when Deadpool comes back from the future. Oh my God, it's Gold Balls. Can I get your autograph?
But what I loved about, not only did they take characters that were obscure and they let you learn a lot about the X-Men in general and introduce a lot of kids, but I can't think of another show at the time that was as deep and involved as X-Men was. Batman did a lot of 2 episodes to do an arc.
Mm-hmm.
But X-Men did like season arcs.
Yes, they would do.
No, theirs were 2 episodes.
Multiple episodes.
No, but like
they always had the because they did it in an hour, so they would always have the one, like the episode of Apocalypse was showed in. At the end of the first episode, it's like Apocalypse laughing, and then it goes to be continued, and then in the next episode, it would.
Was there only two for the?
Generally speaking, yes.
I mean, I know they did a lot.
There's probably a few where there were.
There were a couple where it was longer, like when they do the Phoenix Saga.
I remember them being like in Savage Land a lot longer.
Yeah, but I mean, they'd come back. But generally, the shows were 2 episodes.
They did, though. I will say they did have more frequent. Occasional
they would have callbacks
arcs
and things like that.
Either that or the just like the 3 or 4 episode arcs, they did a little bit more frequently than some of the other shows.
Sure, yeah.
Just because, once again, they're following comic arcs, which are already set for a certain length. They can't really trim it down to make it work for the standard 2 episode thing.
Hold on, real quick, because I'm looking up some, because we're working off memory here. Pride of the X-Men, the pilot, was the original show for this. That was the original concept this show. So they're not 10 years apart. It was 3.
Okay.
Because that got them the okay to make the show. 3 years later, the show came out and they swapped out a couple things, like an Australian Wolverine. The show was originally planned for 65 episodes, given the success in Marvel's bankruptcy.
And about
Saban actually funded the show.
This led to him being able to do like Power Rangers and things like that.
Is it?
Yep.
That would make sense. So I just saw it because when you look back, the first part of a 2-part episode, Days of the Future Past, is literally, I mean, maybe it was two parts. Maybe my memories of it just remembers it being these long, sprawling.
My memory back then, time took so long.
Even though the episodes are always back to back. God, I can't even.
Like, oh my god, jeez.
It's almost like when the original Dragon Ball Z episodes would air, and they would go like 10 episodes in, and then they'd start it over so they could get 3 more episodes in the back end.
Right. Oh my god.
And I felt like that took forever, and it kind of did. But
well, to be fair, half the arcs were.
That was always the most disappointing thing ever when you would wake up Saturday and you'd jump on to watch Dragon Ball Z with the original Dragon, you know, whatever the original theme song was.
Rock the Dragon.
And you would watch it and it would start the series over again. You're like, God, 3 months till we get to the new stuff again.
Stop slamming your phone on the desk.
Seriously. I was a huge fan of X-Men back in the day. Yeah. I also really liked how they always were wearing their costumes.
Yes.
I believe there's one scene where Wolverine's lying in bed looking at a picture of Jean. Very creepy, by the way.
It's the classic meme.
He's in
full costume, hood up. Everything, because that's
how I think the hood was down. I think the hood was down.
No, it wasn't. No. It was very much up.
You can find that meme any and everywhere.
And growing up with this series, whenever I read an X-Men comic, these are the voices I hear. I don't read Wolverine as like Hugh Jackman, although I should start giving him an Australian accent because it would be funny in my mind. I always hear these voices. So, and I do. I honestly think like this. These cartoons did the plot lines far better than the movies ever did.
Oh, yeah.
And they always did like the crazy stuff, like the Dark Phoenix Saga, or they did Days of Future Past was always a good one, and things like that.
They took a lot of the classic X-Men plot lines, and I feel like they translated it very well.
Little tweaks.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, I do like the X-Men series. I think for me, the reason I don't consider it higher ranked on my personal list is just because I've never been as attached to the X-Men as everyone else has.
Yeah.
Outside of this show, I've never really gotten super attached to the X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly like it when the Avengers beat them up in Avengers versus X-Men. So, and everyone hates that plot line. Right, Andy? The Avengers just beat them up. It was great.
I mean, that's pretty much how it happened. It happened before that in the Ultimate one, too.
Yeah.
The Avengers, it's called Ultimate War, where the Avengers basically go to take down the X-Men. They just wipe the floor with them.
That's exactly what happened. Like, the only reason the X-Men started like winning was, well, they got the Phoenix Force on 5 of them now.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of hard to fight them.
I think in the Ultimate Comics, Captain America drops Wolverine with a punch. Yeah. I think it's something like that.
That just reminds me of the classic Batman knocks out Guy Gardner with one punch.
Yeah.
Which is a great pan.
But no, I mean, I've always liked the X-Men. My biggest problem I've always had with the X-Men, and this did reflect into that cartoon, which I think they are a great, is it allegory I'm looking for?
Yeah.
For racism.
Yes.
They are.
That's the idea.
That's the whole idea of the X-Men.
That is true.
Right. And I get that. And I understand the message and all, but they constantly do the exact same message over and over and over, which I understand is great for new readers and new people you've got in. But for somebody who's been reading forever, it's like, oh, look, we're doing it again. You know?
So wait, your argument is, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. Your argument is that, much like racism, the world has not accepted the mutants.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah.
Realistically, the argument isn't about, I mean, yes, it was an allegory for racism, but at this point, I would say it's an allegory for anyone who's
it's segregation.
Segregation,
but
being against a certain group of people.
Still have that problem in the X-Men books.
Well, yeah. Well,
right, but the difference, here's the difference. The X-Men have also saved us from like the end of the world.
Right.
To be fair,
like 90% of the time they were causing the end of the world.
Also true, technically speaking. My always argument against why people don't like the mutants and stuff is like, okay, but you got like a thunder god, one dude who got his power from roids.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But that's okay. Or like aliens or whatever, like, but that's okay. But the people who were born able to shoot optic beams, which I don't know what kind of mutation it takes to shoot optic beams, because I want it. That's what I never understood.
My problem with the X-Men in general is they do a lot of drama, which is fine. I don't mind that, my Teen Titans and stuff like that. My problem is the message is very sound. I agree with the message. But in the world of comic books, it's the exact same problem I have with Punisher. That message I don't feel holds for what they're trying to do.
Right.
They want to segregate them because they're different. And I understand that message. But at the same time, they've also saved the day. You've got members like Wolverine on the Avengers. Mm-hmm. You've got a Thunder God. Yeah. That message, I feel, doesn't hold the same weight when this is the argument that, oh, well, yeah. we want to segregate them because yeah, they're different, but oh, the Inhumans we like.
Right.
Like, that doesn't work.
I'm pretty sure that's actually why Powers of X and House of X is doing so well, is because I think in like the first couple issues, they're like, all right, so we don't care about that anymore. Let's do actual right, story. And I think that's why people like you are like, finally, I can get back in with and be able to go, yes, I'm going to see them use their powers, not go, yes, they've got awesome powers, but they're going to talk.
Right. And I mean, and I get it. Racism is still a thing. I'm not trying to say it went away or any of that kind of stuff. But we don't have people saving the day every day in the real world. You know, like there's a whole larger argument than this.
Well, we do. We respect them. Cops, soldiers, firefighters.
Yes, you know what I'm medical saying. Medical
professionals. I think you meant superheroes.
Yeah. I know. That's what I was going with. I was There's like, no we Thor coming through.
We do? Weird.
I'm still saying.
How do I join the team?
Thank you for serving.
But I have the exact same problem with Punisher. Yeah. Like, Punisher in the long run doesn't work in the Marvel Universe because... Right. Like, we don't kill, but when we do need to kill, we send him in.
Yes. We don't kill. He does it for us.
That's what I mean. Like, it doesn't work.
Punisher's just, like, cleaning his guns.
I mean, honestly, when it comes to the X-Men, one of my favorite characters is, like, Storm.
Yes,
because she doesn't care. She's like, I'm a goddess over here.
Yeah.
Screw you all.
She's like, you know? Oh, no, you're not happy? Zap.
That's what I mean. Like, she's
I
like,
would just make it rain on them the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, look at those people protesting.
Thunderstorm. And then in the stories, they were like, well, Storm, she needs to be the wife of Black Panther. So we're going to go in that direction. Right. And like, okay, well, now she's not some
Which,
goddess.
Honestly, that was still one of my favorites from Avengers versus X-Men, is the conflict between Black Panther and Storm.
Sure.
I mean,
at least them getting divorced.
I just feel like if they're going to segregate the X-Men, and this is my biggest argument with the X-Men, and not only have they had bad stories for the last 5 years, but is have a better argument than we're segregating them because they're different. Because you can have the exact same argument with everyone else. I mean,
they've even done it in the comics in Inhumans versus X-Men, where Cyclops is like, look, we do the same things the Inhumans do, but you guys praise them and like chastise us. What the
right,
hell?
And I get that they're trying good to do usage. That. Like, if you what? Could,
good word usage. Thanks.
If you could separate the X-Men into their own universe, that would make more sense. But you, like I said, your
the
universe
MCU is going to do that.
Well, I could totally.
It's actually the MCXU.
At least in the MCU, superheroes aren't as widely accepted because we have that. And I almost feel like they've been setting up to have that argument.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they can do that. Because even the Inhumans weren't widely accepted in the MCU.
By the audience.
Or by
anybody.
The Inhumans. They didn't even like themselves.
I think that's always been my core problem with the X-Men. Because I like a lot of their stories. I like a lot of the characters. I like Wolverine. I like Cyclops. I like Jean. I like Storm. Like, I like the X-Men. But every time I pick up an X-Men book, it's the same story that doesn't work in the Marvel Universe as a whole. Works for the characters, but I feel like writers should have moved beyond it at some point.
Yeah. This is about the cartoon.
I know. We're just talking in general. Well, what I'm saying is why I don't think I hold the X-Men animated series as high as I do like Batman and things like that. Because Batman, like they almost acknowledge at the time that he doesn't function in the DC universe. You're standing next to a god. Yes, but I'm Batman. But I'm
Batman. And then he like punches him and knocks him out.
So. Like even in the movies, what's your superpower? Money. You know, like
I'm actually rich. So it's super easy to do anything.
They just make it work. So anyway, I don't think we need to talk more about why I'm a... And for the record, loving House and Powers of X. Just read through X-Force, reading through Excalibur, loving New Mutants, Fallen Angels.
Try to get back on the audience's good side now.
No, I am like...
Get out of here.
You spent 1,000 minutes talking about why you hate the X-Men.
Here's why I hate them. But also, I'm starting to love them. But don't hate me.
But if you guys like them, so do I.
Not like the new run. We just did X-Force.
He's like, I hate them.
Stand by your hatred.
By the way, I'm going to do a little spoiler for X-Force. Did you guys read it?
I haven't read it yet.
Actually, no. I don't think I have. Did that come out this week?
It came out this week, yeah.
Oh, slight spoiler for it.
Oh, no.
Last week.
Yeah. I missed it.
They killed Xavier again.
Again?
Like,
what?
Like right off the bat. It's implied he's down again. I'm like, really? That was fast.
Can't stay
My
alive.
Tablet must not be downloading things properly.
Anyway, so my argument now. Green Lantern.
Yes.
My problem with Green Lantern is...
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. The reason I like Green Lantern so much is not because I'm a Green Lantern fanboy, although that does help.
You are. If they made a Flash cartoon, you would be like, my greatest hero is the Flash.
Now I can find out who the Flash is. I have no idea who this is. I will say, actually, the Green Lantern animated show is what made me interested in Green Lantern when I started reading comics.
I felt the Green Lantern anime show came out at a great time. I felt that what they did was they took the... I mean, as much as I love the Geoff Johns run, it became impenetrable. It just got... There's so much going on. Like trying to read X-Men back in the day, where they were had like 9 books and they were all interlinked.
Still on the X-Men.
Yes.
Yeah, he really dislikes the X-Men, is what I'm getting.
Wait, not anymore. Now he loves them.
He's cool with it now. So don't tweet him.
Don't tweet. At me.
Don't... That's, yeah. I was trying to... What's the word they always use?
Anyway, it's impenetrable. I felt like the Green Lantern show took the impenetrability of the Geoff Johns plot line and made it... Is that a word? Is that a word? Because you laughed at me.
I don't know if it's a word. The you fact that you keep saying penetrate in any different form is what making me laugh.
And then you had to penetrate the penetratable nature.
What I was doing was I was penetrating the story. Really got in there. Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't interrupt you. I let you say your piece.
I know. I'm sorry.
It took... what was an amazing, like, basically space opera.
Right.
And turned it into a very linear plot that started explaining the Red Lanterns, the Orange Lanterns, the Blue Lanterns. Mm-hmm. It gave individual, and it decided to do it in a way that was, took Hal Jordan and sent him on his own mission.
Right.
Instead of trying to overwhelm you, they took a straightforward storyline of, I forget what the overall plot was, but he was trying to get back or get out to space with the prototype ship.
Honestly, I can't remember. No, but the
I
ship,
can't remember either.
There was an overarching
role. The ship was AI.
He became like a sentient thing.
Kilowog was in there.
Kilowog.
Razor.
Yep. Razor.
Yep. Larfreeze.
Larfreeze showed up for a couple.
Atrocitus.
He was the villain.
Yeah, he was the villain.
But
the actual overall plot of the show, I honestly couldn't
They were
tell
going
you.
Somewhere. I don't remember
if
what it
I
was.
If I remember right, I can't remember what they were doing, but they were going somewhere, and then they run into Razor, who's trying to become the next Atrocitus.
Yes.
But then Hal Jordan kind of converts him. He has to go back, get his... power back. He fights Atrocitus. You do get the Star Sapphires eventually as well, because they do cover all.
Yeah,
I don't know if they do Indigo.
I know,
but they might.
I know they did Blue.
No, well,
I know they do Saint Walker.
The show did get canceled early. Okay. There was,
it was
future
only like
plans.
12 episodes or something.
It was it was 2 seasons total.
No, was it? It was two seasons because the first.
But I think
one
there were 12 each.
The second one was mostly the Razor plotline, if I remember right.
Yeah. So what I like the most about it, though, is it takes what was awesome about the X-Men animated series, which was it took a lot of plots to be recognized and then put them into the show.
Yep.
But it also took its own spin on it, making it very unique, like the Batman ones, where you're like, I know Joker, but I've never seen Joker with smiling fish.
Right.
You know? And I feel like that was it, and it put it in a straight path, and it set out what was so awesome about the Green Lantern, but made it penetrable for new viewers and people who are interested in Green Lantern.
Right.
And it moved forward with the plot line. I mean, that's what I liked about the X-Men. They moved forward. She became Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
She became Phoenix, then Dark Phoenix, then Cyclops died, and then they were on the World of Mojo. I don't know, 72 episodes. A lot of stuff happened.
They
did go to Mojo World.
They did.
Well, Batman did move forward. Mojo. At the same time, everything's kind of standalone. It doesn't have to have moved forward.
Yeah, right.
Like, overall, you'll see things reoccurring, you'll see things popping up, but it... You'd never need... You could watch Batman out of order and it's perfectly fine.
And you'd be good with it, yeah.
You could watch X-Men partially out of order, but you kind of have an idea of direction it's going.
I watched the first part of one two-parter and then I watched the second part of a different two-parter. Try to figure out what happened in between.
And then just to mix it up, you throw a Batman
just
in the middle.
Yeah, watch the first half of Phoenix and then the second half of Dark Phoenix.
Oh, what the hell? Yeah,
I feel
sense.
Like I missed a few cliff notes here, but I'm good.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And that's what I think I liked about Green Lantern. It's like they took a lot of what came before, which is what makes those great. They set the stage. They didn't have things before them.
Yeah.
But they saw what we liked about X-Men, about Batman, about Superman, about Batman Beyond. And they were like, okay, let's make a solid show. And why it got canceled, I have no idea.
Right. I think another thing that made the Green Lantern show.
Green Lantern, that's why.
is the fact that you, hands down, you knew it was its own thing because of Razor and Aya.
Yes.
Like you at no point did you go,
ever come in the comic
did
show.
They go this?
She's in
I think the Aya came into some other stuff. Yeah. Razor, we've never seen, I don't think.
She had Guy Gardner as the Red Lantern. Would have been hilarious.
Yeah. I think they implied Razor was coming in, but nobody put him in. I think that's what happened.
He's coming, everybody.
Well, like one of the comics hinted at him, kind of a deal.
Just in one of the comics, you go, who's that guy? That's Razor. And then
I think it was something along those lines.
And then
lines.
The planet blows up.
I think he got like a mention, and like as a Green Lantern fan, we're like, they're coming in Razor. And then like never they just stopped doing Red Lantern stuff.
Which true, is a other shame. Than that cat.
Dexstar is the only Red Lantern that continuously shows up because he's in Odyssey right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which shows that the Red Lanterns are still out there.
He's a Rocket Raccoon.
He is.
So
he's an angry cat.
He's actually a mix yeah, between Rocket sure and Groot because he can't really talk.
That's true.
But yeah.
I'm pretty sure Green Lantern got canceled with Young Justice for all the exact same reasons.
Oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense. The toy sales, they were roughly around the same time.
They were both show. I think they actually were airing back to back. I think it was like Young Justice to Green Lantern at the time.
I think so.
I was watching them on something else. Actually, I think I was stealing them back
both,
in the day.
Both of them don't
condone that, but
Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I never watched Cartoon Network on TV, so I was either watching it on a website or something. I don't know.
Right.
But I was watching it.
I always watch
Cartoon Network. You know what it is with Young Justice? I can tell you right now when I got it. Andy will vouch for this. I did watch a bootleg, but while over at Afghanistan, because they would bootleg all of them and sell them for like
you
10.
Did. Yeah.
You could buy any show for $10.
For like, yeah, and you could probably talk them down. Honestly. Yeah.
That's where I watched all of it. I was like, a Green Lantern show? This is probably dumb.
Yeah, they would like sell them all over the place. They would like wander into like our fobs and stuff and like, you want to buy some stuff?
Sure. Some of it would be like, this movie came out last week in America. Yeah, yeah. And then you pop in it and it's some guy like on a phone camera.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think it was, I spent like $5 to get a few movies. None of them were in English. Oh, that's disappointing.
Andy learned like three words of another language that day.
That's how I watched the entirety of Smallville, because I had fallen off Smallville way back in the day. Mm-hmm. I had gotten the entirety box set of Smallville. Mm-hmm. It's also how I watched the entirety of Doctor Who and Torchwood and became a Whovian. Say Whovian, Andy.
No, I'm good.
So,
all the Whovians live in Whoville.
Luckily, these guys allowed Benny to penetrate into the Whovian universe.
Really, he's like, you know, the problem with Whovians is you can't really penetrate in there.
You got to really
penetrate, though.
No, a lot of my pop culture fixations came out of buying bootlegs in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Penetrating in.
Can we please stop saying that? I know I brought it back up again.
You already started this.
I can't not laugh.
So let's penetrate the story of Dexstar the Kitty.
Please never say that.
And on that
note, I don't want to do that. Yeah.
And then this has been Comics Experiment. I think the show, Dan.
Thank you guys for
Andy, your turn. Give it a shot.
Thanks for joining us today. I think we've all established that Batman the Animated Series was the best show. I don't know how else to end this show because I don't pay attention when you do it.
Be sure to check out our sponsor, 4hymns, 4hymns.com/RobinBenny. Yeah. Join us.
Where can they find us, Dan?
Apparently, Dan doesn't pay attention when he does it.
You can find this show every Friday at our every Thursday live right here at twitch.tv/comicstorian.
None of us can do this.
You can find it early access over on our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian, and over at our YouTube memberships. You could then get it live on our YouTube channel every Saturday and across all of the podcast networks. Thank you guys for your time today. Let us know what you think is the best animated animated comic book based show. Gonna open it up to anything comic book based. I'll even allow manga submissions because technically that's Japanese comic books. It's in the same wheelhouse.
I want to ask you this as well, though. Leave in the comments down below which theme song got stuck in your head. I want to know which one.
That's a good question. Yeah, what theme song got stuck in your head? Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time right here at the Comics Experiment.
Goodbye.